God has put it on my heart to make prayer a theme for this year, 2022, for Victory Baptist Church, that we grow in prayer. God works in response to prayer. God works in response to prayer. And we need to make much of prayer. But when I think about prayer, I must admit that I feel very inadequate. I feel like, how can I teach on prayer, talk about prayer? I feel as though so many times that is such a shortcoming in my life. Sometimes we're so hurried in prayer. We're so anxious and running off to do the things we feel are so urgent and shortening and missing many times important times in prayer. And so we want to talk about prayer this morning, and we want to talk about prayer throughout this year and grow in our prayer life. Prayer is an amazing thing because it's something you can teach the youngest of children. Our little 2-year-old is learning to pray, learning the simplicity of it and the joy of it, of thanking God for his food, folding his hands and thanking the Lord and saying amen. And it's something special, it's something important that even a child ought to learn. But yet, the most aged saint, the most mature believer, dare not miss a day without prayer. Prayer is just that important. So let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the book of James. The book of James in chapter 5. James chapter 5. And towards the back of the Bible here, just after the book of Hebrews and a little bit before Revelation, you'll find the book of James. We're going to go to chapter 5 and read a portion of verse number 16. Verse number 16. We're going to start in the middle of the verse. It is a simple sentence here, a simple declaration we find in God's Word, and we're going to take a look at that here this morning. So James chapter 5, coming here to the middle of verse 16, where the Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This will be our key verse for this year. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the simple place of prayer, that we do not have to be wealthy. We do not have to be of exceptional IQ. We do not have to be in a certain a position. We do not have to be anything other than pleading, coming in faith, seeking you, the true and living God. We can speak to you through prayer. Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to grow and recognize in this area of communication with you, of transaction with you, that we would make much of prayer in 2022. That is, as the year rolls by, as the weeks, as the days go on, should you, in your mercy, give us breath, Lord, that we would pray. Pray without ceasing, without quitting, without giving up, without failing to trust you with the affairs of our life and with the needs of our world. Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls who pray, who seek you. Oh Lord, our flesh does not like to pray. Our flesh does not like to take time for such things.
But Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to carve out purposeful time to talk with you, our Heavenly Father, and to pray about the needs in our life, in our families, in our church, in our town, in our world. Oh God, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God works in response to prayer. God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to the prayers of his people. Yes, he has. At this time, we don't have a banner yet because of the challenges of January already. But you know what? God willing, we'll have a theme banner here in soon time on prayer. As we consider this verse, I want you to notice, first of all, God's declaration. We're going to have three aspects to work through. God's declaration, then we're going to understand the key components in this verse, and then lastly, we're going to capitalize on its potential. So first of all, God's declaration. The wording here is a little out of the ordinary for our daily vocabulary. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But yet, the words are not complicated. Consider the truth of this verse, putting it in some of my own words here. Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. The Lord tells us in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Great and mighty things. Call unto me, and I will show thee. Oh yes, effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. This is the simple truth of God's declaration here. Fervent prayer. Of course, as we go to understand the key components, we have, first of all, the component of strong petition. Fervent prayer. This is important in this verse. We're not talking about a half-hearted kind of throw the request out there. We're talking about someone who is serious with God. Someone who is pleading with God. And this is telling us that it's effective. Strong petitions to God are effective. And so, a strong petition. Fervent prayer. I believe this pleading with God comes particularly in three ways. It comes humbly. Someone who is humbling themselves before God. I think of a few different stories in the Bible where someone comes and falls at Jesus' feet when he was on this earth walking. And they fall before him humbly, submitting themselves and pleading with him. "My daughter is sick." Yes, humbly. It didn't matter their status. It didn't matter their wealth. They humbled themselves. That is what we must do, is come with humility. This strong petition is not twisting God's arm. It's not coming and lording over God. Oh no. It is coming as he said, humbly. 1 Peter, if you will recall these familiar words out of 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Now listen to this. "For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." If it's grace you need, if it's the power of God you need, if it's something from God, the goodness of God, "Oh God, I need this," he says, "I give it to the humble." To the humble, not to the proud, not to the ones who have their nose in the air and who condescend upon everybody else. No, those who humble themselves and seek God. This is to whom he supplies his grace. Yes, plead with God. Plead humbly. Also, I want you to notice, how should we bring this strong petition? We should come boldly. Boldly and humbly are not opposites. Boldly is with confidence, not timidity. But with confidence, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, my friend, when my kids are playing out here and I'm working in my office or something of this nature, and there's a need or a want even, they come, they don't come timidly, they barge in, and I'm not saying that they should be rude or anything of that nature, but they come seeking the help they need. Someone's hurt, or they fell off the snow pile and they hit their head, or whatever the case may be, they come in boldly to get Dad to help. And that, with all reverence, is how we should come before God. Yes, with all reverence. We're not talking about being brash or we should come with confidence, though. "Lord, it is your help I need. Lord, you must intervene." Come with that confidence that, yes, he cares. Yes, he can help. I'm coming to my Father. He can help me. Come humbly, come boldly. But we also see in this fervent plea, we come earnestly. The word earnestly means with sincere and intense conviction. Earnestly, with sincere and intense conviction, we come with this petition. We come to seek him with sincerity. Oh God, we're not talking about memorized prayers. You know, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Now my soul to keep." No, we're talking about coming to God and saying, Lord, you've got to intervene. Lord, we need you. Lord, I need your strength. God, we need your wisdom in this decision. Lord, would you give us safety on this trip? Oh God, would you work in my son's heart? Lord, would you soften where it's hard? We come earnestly, sincerely, with the words that come to our heart. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, when Jesus was teaching on prayer, he said, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Friend, intense prayer doesn't mean that you have this beautiful, ornate sentence structures put together. Hogwash. Come to your Father as you are and seek him humbly, boldly, and earnestly. This is what this passage is talking about. Fervent prayer. There is passion here. There is an earnestness, a boldness, as well as a humility. Oh, consider these words from C.H. Spurgeon. Quote, "True prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. True prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length." That is so true. When we talk about learning to pray, we're not trying to learn special words so our tongue doesn't get twisted. We're seeking to get humble before our God and seek Him for the needs and the burdens and the cares in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our friends, in our country. Fervent prayer. This is the first key component I see. There's a sincerity here, an earnestness in this prayer that is effectual. All right? I notice another key component that the Bible identifies here, and it says this, the effectual fervent prayer of what? Of who? A righteous man. Now, the scripture by no means excludes women or children. Not at all in the case. It speaks of a righteous one in a more generic sense. Someone who is right with God. Oh, friends, first and foremost, we cannot be right with God unless we know Christ as our Savior. Unless the saving blood of Jesus Christ has been believed on by us and received by us. Simple faith, we can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We must be saved. Now, that is not to say that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. For if God did not hear the prayers of sinners, none of us would be saved. You see, it's not saying that God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. Oh, He does, especially those who come in repentance and faith. Oh, yes, God hears prayer. But I'll tell you what, it's emphasizing here the effectiveness of the child of God's prayer. The prayer life of the child of God is effective. It accomplishes great things for those who are walking with God. And so, we see here that it is a righteous one. One who is right with God. This is a promise to the children of God. God has a special receptiveness to those who are His own children. A special receptiveness. This is God's declaration. And so, we can see here also how the Bible says, as Jesus taught about prayer in Luke 18, consider these words. It says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" Shall not God avenge His own elect? Should not God, will He not help His own children who cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Oh, praise God. God does have a special place, a special receptivity to the prayers, the cries of His own children who are washed in the blood. Yes, He does. God is attentive even further. particularly, and I think that is a further emphasis of this verse and of this component, is that God is particularly attentive to those who are in fellowship with Him. So not just saved, but in fellowship. In other words, walking in sweetness, in communion, in obedience with God. Fellowship with God. Did you know it's possible to be saved and not in very good fellowship with God? Oh yes, it is. It's possible to be really saved and really stubborn and really resistant to the Holy Spirit. It is possible. And I'll tell you what, God is not attentive to the prayers of someone who is of that hardness of heart or who is harboring iniquity in their heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, that doesn't mean that his ears have a problem. It doesn't mean he can't hear you. It doesn't mean you're calling and he just can't hear. But he won't hear. He's not receptive when you are resisting him, when you are living in sin. And so, unless it's a prayer, again, of repentance and seeking him with honest and open confession, yes, those are prayers he is attentive to, responsive to. Notice or consider, I'll share this verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, where again it's talking about prayer and it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." 1 John 3, verse 23, or verse 22. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There is a confidence of answer to prayer when we are walking in fellowship with God. And so, we, even as a believer, must check our fellowship with God if we want our prayers answered, if we want to claim the promise of this declaration, if we want to claim this for ourselves, we must check our status. Am I in fellowship with God? Am I walking in communion with my Savior? We must get honest before God. We must submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Get honest before God and with others. Sin in our life needs to be dealt with thoroughly, for it will hinder our prayer life. Sin in our life needs to be dealt with thoroughly, or it will hinder our prayer life. Last week I gave an example, an illustration of snow blowing to get to people's propane tanks in the 2 and 3 and in some cases 4 foot of snow that is piled in people's backyards, blown in and fallen in people's backyards. And sometimes there are hidden objects under all that white snow, hidden objects that no one knows are there, or very few maybe realize they are there. They are all but forgotten. But my friend, if there's something buried in your backyard, God knows it's there. And it will short-circuit your prayer life. It will hinder the effectualness, the availing of your prayer. And so, we must deal with sin in our life. I'd like to take you over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, right about the middle of the Bible, a little bit after the Psalms, you find Isaiah in chapter 59. We'll look at just the first 3 verses. Isaiah 59, consider what God says here, talking about the nation of Israel, but certainly applicable for us. Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold," or "look, see, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, my friend, God is not weak. God's ears are not, he's not hard of hearing. The Bible declares. But verse 2, but your iniquities, iniquity is a big word for sin, and it has the idea of self-willed sin. That, well, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it anyway kind of attitude. Iniquity. And God says here in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that, if you have it there, read it with me, that he will not hear. It's not that he's deaf. It's not that he's hard of hearing. It's not that he's too far away, that he couldn't hear what you said. It says, your sin, your iniquity has caused it to be such that he will not hear you. Notice verse 3. It declares about the people of Israel here, for your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. And it goes on. But may it suffice for us to understand that sin will hinder our prayer life. And so it's important for us to confess our sin, get honest with God, and quite frankly, with others as well. How can I be right with God, as Jesus said, if I'm not right with my brother, with my sister? The earthly relationships on the horizontal level hinder the vertical fellowship with God. And so we must seek, is there someone that I've wronged, that I need to get that wrong right? We need to seek for reconciliation. Matthew chapter 18. We'll turn over there to the Gospel of Matthew. I'd like to share a few verses from this passage. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. The Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And so the effort here to make reconciliation or to if someone has wronged you, to go and talk about that rather than letting it go on, but to take care of it, to talk about it, to seek to work through it, that it might be reconciled. And so we are instructed to get wrongs right. And if someone has wronged us, to seek out that amends. All right? Verse 21, we'll skip forward here. Verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter got what Jesus was saying. He said, you're going to have to forgive your brother. You're going to have to forgive him for wrongs. And Peter says, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to forgive when they offend me, when they do me wrong. But he says, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Maybe Peter had been wronged a few times already in his life, no doubt. Maybe he had somebody who had wronged him numerous times in a similar way. And maybe he was feeling a little weary of saying, oh, I forgive you. I forgive you. And releasing that offense. Peter was thinking, how often am I to forgive a brother that has sinned against me? He hurt me. He did me wrong. How many times do I forgive? Seven times? Peter asks. That sounds pretty generous. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, Peter. Not just seven times, but until 70 times seven. Peter, stop counting. Stop counting. The multiplicity of times. Forgive him. In other words, every time. Stop keeping record books. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And the one owed a whole bunch. It says here in verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Let's just use an arbitrary number and say $10,000. All right? It was probably even more than that, actually, but in our current currency. But let's just say it's a big amount, all right? Well, 10,000 for some isn't that big, I guess. 10 million, all right? Let's go with 10 million. $10 million he is owed. And he pleads with the Lord in this case. And he falls down, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. The big, huge, massive debt, which pictures, incidentally, our sin that we couldn't pay. We could not pay. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. So this is one of his peers. One of his fellow servants, which owed him, let's say, $100. I mean, it's a small amount. Owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Because thou desirest me, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Wow. Here's a parable, a plausible earthly situation where Jesus uses it to teach a spiritual truth. Jesus is pointing out what is reiterated in Ephesians 4, verse 32, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, forgive ye one another. You see, we had a debt that we could not pay. It was enormous. It was unpayable. And hell was what we deserved. Damnation for our crimes. And God forgave it. It was paid through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And then you and I are going to go around, and we're going to find somebody who did us wrong, and we're going to say, now you, I'm going to hold that against you. Now you, you're unkind, unforgiving, uncordial. Shame on us. Oh, we must not only be right with God, but if we're going to be right with God, we're going to have to make amends with our fellow peers, with our fellow man in this world. You say, well, I've tried. Well, we need to really access God's grace and release that offense to God. That's what forgiveness is. Releasing the right to hold it against them. Releasing that to God. Lord, I'm giving this to you. We need to, if we have made the offense, if we have done the wrong, we need to go to that person and confess that sin and seek their forgiveness. Much more could be said, and we will undoubtedly work through perhaps even a whole message on that, or maybe a series, I don't know, as God leads. So we come to the components here of this declaration, the key components. We've seen that there's the fervent prayer, the strong petition, humbly, boldly, earnestly. We've now seen how it is coming, this earnest plea is coming from a righteous person, one who is right with God, right with others, walking in fellowship with the Lord. And that comes to the last component in our passage here in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Our last component is the effectiveness. Effectual and availeth much. Effectual and availeth much. This invokes divine help. Sincere pleading with God from someone who is right with God gets divine help. It invokes divine help. It is very effective. It accomplishes a lot. It availeth much. It is effectual. Prayer like this from a child of God who's walking and seeking to walk with the Lord is effective. Oh, how much we need this power from God through prayer. Are we willing? Are we willing to seek it? Notice the example in the next two verses here in James 5. Look at verse 17. Elias. This is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew name Elijah. Elijah. You'll find the account here in 1 Kings, chapter 17 of 1 Kings. But Elijah was a man, the Bible says, subject to like passions as we are. Can I put that in different words? He's just like us. Elijah was a person just like us. And he prayed, it says, earnestly, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, there's a lot of background to that story. Why did he pray? The nation of Israel was living in sin. They had turned away from God. They were worshiping idols, and there was so much corruption and wickedness and crime in their land that he prayed that it wouldn't rain, that God would get their attention. And it didn't. It did not rain for 3.5 years, and everything dried up, and there was a great famine in the land. And this is given as an example of a regular guy who prayed. Now, Elijah was a man of God. He walked with God. He was right with God. He prayed sincerely, earnestly, passionately, and God worked. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Verse 18, it says, and he prayed again. This would be after 3 some years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That culminated, that whole thing culminated with Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah, the true prophet of God, and the God that answered by fire. That was the culmination of that story there. But we can see the example of a regular person, a human being just like us, who sought God and saw God work. We too can see God work. My vision for this church is that we would be a praying people, that we would grow in prayer. For without prayer, we will fail. We need God's power, God's help. in every area, from our homes to our witness. We need God's help. Will you honestly seek God? Capitalize upon its potential. Seek for right fellowship with God and others. Right fellowship with God and others. For this promise is for one who is righteous. Make prayer a priority in each day of your life. Make prayer a priority. Recognize that God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to the prayers of His people. Will you seek God in prayer? I look forward to continuing to explore the wonderful truths that God has in His Word about prayer. May He teach us to pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for the simple and yet profound place of prayer. Help us to recognize its weightiness when utilized sincerely. Oh, Father, help us to grow this week in prayer. Help us to make it a priority of each day of this week, that we would take time for prayer, real, honest seeking of you, lifting up of our needs and burdens, praising and honoring you with thankfulness, but seeking for your power to work in the affairs of our life and our world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.